look together at God's Word this morning, I would ask you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 17. Otherwise, I believe it will be either on the wall or on the screen in front of you. We'll be reading together the verses 1 to 14, a familiar passage to most of us, I'm sure, as we get here, the establishment of the covenant made with Abram. And we focus our attention, as you see there in the outline for the sermon, on Genesis 17, verse 1. That is our text. It'll be the first verse, of course, that we read. And the declaration of God as he comes to Abram and establishes this covenant with him, the significance of the fact that he declares himself to be, I am God Almighty, or I am El Shaddai. And so we'll read together Genesis 17, the first 14 verses, and then we will look at this glorious declaration of our God, that I am El Shaddai. Genesis 17, verse 1, this is the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. That is the word of our God. We come this morning to, again, as I said, a passage that is fairly familiar, of course, in our circles, in Genesis chapter 17, and the establishment of a covenant with Abraham. As we think about the Christian life, as we think about Christian faith, as we think about what it's all about and the essence of what it is, as we think about the reconciliation that is brought between sinner and Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think about the grand and glorious privilege that we have as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith of knowing God. There's all kinds of things that we can talk about in terms of the particulars and the outworkings of the Christian life, but at the very essence of what Jesus Christ has come to do in terms of reconciling sinner to Almighty God is to enable us to know God, to love God, and to walk with God. And so one of the most important things as we come to the Word of God, as we come looking to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith to the Word of God, one of the most important things that this revelation does for us is it reveals to us in detail God Himself, who He is. We come to a passage this morning of God making, establishing a covenant with Abram, soon here in the passage to be renamed as Abraham. And as God comes to Abraham and establishes this covenant, He makes a statement. Before He says anything else about the sign and seal of the covenant and all that goes around, that swirls around that, He comes to Abram and He says to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. This morning, we want to focus on that declaration of God that is saying something essential about who God is. As He comes to make declaration to Abram and by extension to us this morning, that I am God Almighty. And so we want to begin, as you follow the order here, if you will, of the sermon, we want to look very carefully at the beginning here at what does this declaration mean? What is God saying as He comes to Abram and says, I am God El Shaddai? And then we want to look, secondly, of course, at the very next phrase. As God makes that declaration, He then gives Abram a call. Walk before me and be blameless. And then we'll wrap it up as we see the glorious reality of what God is saying here and how that brings comfort to us this morning as we come to this God who is indeed El Shaddai. And so let's begin this morning looking at this declaration of God, Genesis 17:1, where He says, I am El Shaddai. I am, translated here, God Almighty. Anytime God says in the Bible, I am, in light of the essence of what God has done in Christ Jesus, and that is reveal Himself to us, as every time we come across this statement that God makes, I am, we sit up and take notice. Because God is saying something about Himself. Whether He just stops there, as He did with Moses, declaring Himself to be, I am, or whether we listen for words that follow, which He does here to Abram, as He comes to say, I am God Almighty, or I am El Shaddai. We sit up and we take notice because God is saying something very specific and very particular about who He is. This is precisely what He does as He is here establishing the covenant with Abram. He comes to Abram, and the first thing that He says is, I am El Shaddai. Now, it's translated for us as we read here in the ESV, I am God Almighty. Truth is that this designation, this declaration of God is a little bit hard to handle as we come to try to translate it from the Hebrew to one English word. It's often the case as we think of the revelation of God in His Word, when He is saying especially something about Himself, His character, it is hard to translate one word for one word, one Hebrew concept or word for one English. You might have remember, if you've studied this at all, the word hesed in Hebrew, translated often as God's loving kindness. But then you read in some translations, it's not God's loving kindness, it's God's covenant love. And then you read in other translations, it's God's steadfast love. And you read translations and you can just sense the fact that the translators are struggling trying to get word-for-word translations. It often is the case when we are trying to come to grips with the magnitude of what God is saying about Himself. Again, I've heard it. Last name Murray, there's no Dutch blood in me. But I've heard it said many times. And in fact, I could give you a couple of those words, that there's a word in Dutch that is this, that you can't really just put it into one word in English. It's a whole idea. It's the same kind of an idea here. El Shaddai. The word El is the simple one. It simply means God. I am God. I am El. Shaddai is the difficult one. In the ESV here, it is translated God Almighty. And so Shaddai is translated as Almighty. And certainly this word speaks of God's power. There's no question about the fact that as you look at this word, it is talking about the power, the ability of God to do exactly what He promises to do. There's absolutely no question that there is an emphasis here in this word on God's power or ability. It is proven if you continue to read Genesis chapter 17. Isaac's birth is promised, right? The problem is that, of course, we know that Abraham and his wife Sarah are too old to have children together. It is humanly impossible for Abraham to have an offspring through his wife that would carry on this promise of God. They're looking at each other with a question mark, going, how is this going to work? Because we cannot have children anymore. It is humanly impossible. God, as a very, minuscule demonstration of what He means, that He is El Shaddai, God all-powerful or almighty, Abraham and Sarah conceive. Humanly impossible, they conceive and Isaac is born. It's a demonstration of God's ability to bring about that which He has promised. And again, certainly, that becomes central to what we are talking about when we come to the word Shaddai. The problem is that it is not simply a bare declaration of God's ability or power. It is not simply speaking of God's omnipotence. There's another nuance to this word. And as you look at it, it's not only that God has the ability to bring about that which He promises, but it very much has attached to it this idea that God is all-sufficient in Himself to be that blessing that He has promised. That God Himself has in and of Himself the ability to be sufficient in Himself as the promise, not only to bring us to blessing, not only the ability to bring us from point A to point B, but that He Himself, as El Shaddai, is all sufficient to actually be the blessing. And of course, this follows suit very well with what is going on here in the story of Abraham and God's establishing of the covenant. If you go back to chapter 15 in the book of Genesis, God comes to Abraham as he begins talking about this reality of establishing this promise or this covenant. And He says to Abraham that I, as God, will be your shield and your very great reward. That I am only not going to be the one to protect you in this promise, but I myself am going to be your reward. Me, God. And if you think about what God is saying here, even in Genesis chapter 17, Abram, I will be a blessing to you and to your offspring and to the nations. I will be their God. God is promising Himself. El Shaddai, as God comes to Abram and says, I am El Shaddai, it is far more than just simple demonstration of raw ability or power. God is declaring Himself to be all-sufficient to be that promise. That I will indeed not only be your shield, but your very great reward. In fact, the old Genevan Bible, 16th century, 1560, right? The translation precedes the King James Version. A lot of the Puritans used the old Genevan Bible. If you were to look in that old Genevan Bible, you begin reading in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, you will find this sentence, this verse translated, "I am God all-sufficient." This Shaddai, this word Shaddai, God all-sufficient, indeed powerful, but is able to not only be the conduit of blessing, but He is the blessing itself. And so the translation is a little difficult. Do you highlight the power? Yes, okay, fine, all-sufficient or almighty. But it's a little more than that, and so do we go all-sufficient? You struggle. It's not a wrong answer. But the point is that God comes to Abraham, and He says to him, as He establishes this covenant, "I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, I am God all-sufficient." He is a God who is not only able to bring us to a state of blessing, but He is able to bring us to Himself as the blessing. It's fascinating as you trace this designation for God, El Shaddai, as you trace this through the Old Testament. It is tied intimately to this promise. I'm not going to go through all of the instances for sure, but I give you a couple just as you, if you were to continue reading through the book of Genesis, chapter 28, when Isaac, so it goes from Abraham to Isaac, when Isaac blesses Jacob, God comes, or the wording there is God El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the almighty one. In His light, be fruitful and multiply. He will be your God, and He will be a God to your offspring, and He will be a God to the nations, a blessing to the nations, El Shaddai. And then again in Genesis chapter 35, when God renames Jacob, God comes to him, makes this declaration, "I am El Shaddai, you will no longer be called Jacob, but your name will now become Israel. And I will bless you, and I will bless your offspring, and I will bless the nations. Be fruitful and multiply." God El Shaddai, the one who is the blessing itself, reminding us of the essence of what He has promised, Himself. You see, we need continual reminders as we just pause even to think as we go through this definition. It says something to us in terms of the way that we think about God. It serves for us as a corrective that we all need. That God is absolutely sufficient in power and satisfaction to bring us to Himself and to bless us in Himself. So often, as we think about the reality of blessing, as we talk about receiving a blessing or being a blessing, we use that term blessing. So often, we allow our thinking to place God as a conduit. Whether we're talking about our own blessing or whether we're talking about a blessing to someone else, we often think, if I can do it this way, that here we are. And God is a conduit. God is blessing us, and in blessing us, He is bringing us to a different reality. So if it's a job, God has blessed us with a job. If it's a spouse, God has blessed us with a spouse. If whatever it is, that God becomes a conduit to bring us to some other thing. Here we are reminded essentially of what it is to be truly blessed. And that is, God is promising to bring us to Himself. And so we enjoy all of those things. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we enjoy those things as we enjoy the giver. He's not simply a conduit. Here He is reminding us that He is all-sufficient. He is the only one that can actually bring us satisfaction. There is nothing else that can do that. How often do we think, again, by way of application, how often do we think How often have we said, if only I had this, I would be content. If only I had this, I would be fulfilled. If only I had a job that gave me more money, I would be set. If only, as a single person, I had a spouse, everything would be wonderful. If only I had, as a married person, a different spouse, everything would be okay. How many times have we thought, if only I had, things would be fine. If only COVID would go away, everything would be good. What this does for us before we go any further, as God comes to us this morning and says, I am El Shaddai, that anything that we put in that place that is not God Himself is a lie. We don't have to even begin walking down that road. We already know it. Because God and God alone is El Shaddai. He is the only one who is sufficient, all sufficient in Himself to bring that contentment or that satisfaction. There is nothing else that can take that place. He will share that sufficiency with no one or nothing else. That is not to say that we can't pray for a different job or whatever it might be. But if we are talking about satisfaction, if we are talking about contentment of soul, God alone is El Shaddai. God alone is God Almighty, God All-Sufficient. And He is reminding Abraham of the magnitude of that which He has promised. I'm not promising you trinkets. I am promising you Myself, and I am able to bring you to Myself. It's a glorious reality. And so we are reminded here to be careful about how we think. All of us fall into that. If only things were different, everything would be good with me. No. I have God, El Shaddai, all sufficient. There is nothing more that I could have. But then as we think and we grasp and grapple with this reality of God coming to Abraham and making this declaration, I am El Shaddai, we have immediately following this a call. God then comes to Abraham and He says to him, not only am I sufficient, but then He says to Abraham, walk before Me and be blameless. So what we have going on here is God making this declaration that I am all sufficient. I am El Shaddai. There is nothing outside of Me that is needed. So walk before Me, the One who is all sufficient for everything, walk before Me and be blameless. God says to Abraham and to us, avail yourself of this reality. It is profound, but it is simple. I am God all-sufficient. I am almighty. There is nothing that is needed outside of Me. I am it. I am everything. Walk before Me. Walk in My grace. Walk in My glory. Walk in My sufficiency. Walk in Me. El Shaddai. Walk before Me. And be blameless. Walk righteously or uprightly. The order of this call is essential. We may not get this reversed. God doesn't say to Abram, be blameless and then walk with Me. He doesn't say, Abraham, make sure that you fix everything in your life and then walk with Me. No, He says, Abraham, I am all sufficient. I am El Shaddai. Walk before Me and then be blameless. So often we reverse these things in our minds and in our hearts and we suffer miserably for it. We do not go to God because we struggle with sin. I can't go to God because you don't know what I'm wrestling with right now. I can't go to God because I've thought these things or I've done these things. I can't go to God. I can't walk with God because I don't quite measure up. So often we reverse this reality. We seek to be blameless before we walk with God. God says to Abram very clearly and very carefully, I am all sufficient. I am all that you need. There is nothing outside of me. And so walk before me. Walk in my sufficiency. Walk in El Shaddai or before El Shaddai and be blameless. It's interesting. Of the 48 occurrences of El Shaddai, it hit me. As you begin to think through this reality, of the 48 instances, the uses of El Shaddai in the Old Testament, 31 of them come in the book of Job. I wouldn't have, as I was working through this, I never would have actually said that. I wouldn't have guessed it. 31, almost 65%. Of the use of El Shaddai comes in the book of Job. There's a lesson there. The first 37 chapters of that book, we understand a little bit of the book. There are, you know, four main characters there. You've got, at least in terms of human characters, you've got Job and his three friends. The first 37 chapters of that book, as you read through it, is Job and his three friends basically arguing about El Shaddai. They're arguing about who God is. They're arguing about what God requires. They're bantering back and forth. This is who God is. No, this is who God is. This is what God requires. No, this is what God requires. They're bantering. It's noise. And that goes on for 37 chapters. And says if God, you know, is watching and listening, and he comes in chapter 40 and he says, enough is enough. Verse 2 of Job 40, God says, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Shall a fault finder contend with El Shaddai? You who are arguing and bickering and complaining, are you actually going to contend with the one who is all sufficient? He who argues with God, the verse ends, let him answer it. And then God marvelously, gloriously, in the rest of chapter 40 and into 41, you read, were you there when I established the mountains? Were you there when I? Were you there? Did you do? And you have this glorious demonstration of El Shaddai, God in his sufficiency. And he brings Job to a very, very, very important place in his walk with the Lord. After all of that demonstration of God's sufficiency, were you there? Job comes to reply. Chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord, and he said, I know that you can do all things. And there's no purpose of yours that can be thwarted. There's the Almighty part. Who is it that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. And here is the key here. Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I have bantered about you. I have argued about you. We've had endless debates. I have heard all about you, El Shaddai. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear. But then he says, but now my eyes have seen you. It's not just a matter of argument. It's not just a matter of debate. It's not just a matter of topic of discussion. My eyes have seen El Shaddai, the sufficiency of Almighty God. Therefore, he says, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. It is in light of his eyes being opened to El Shaddai, the glory and sufficiency of Almighty God, that Job finally bows his knees and he says, now I repent. In dust and ashes of all of my hubris and pride, I crumble before you, El Shaddai, the one who is all sufficient, because now my eyes have seen you. It's not just a matter of debate. It's not just a matter of table discussion. I have seen you in your sufficiency, in your glory. I have come face to face with El Shaddai. Job has come to the understanding of exactly the call that God gave to Abraham. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Now my eyes have seen you, and I repent in dust and ashes. Forgive me, cleanse me, sanctify me. Why? Because I walk before you, O God, in all of your glory and all of your splendor. My eyes have seen El Shaddai. Now, as we contemplate that call, as we think about this order of God coming to Abraham, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. As we come to the same reality that Job came to, there is where we begin to understand and know the comfort of what God is saying to Abraham as he comes to declare himself to be, I am El Shaddai. For you see, as we transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament, the redemptive story of God is not completed until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes. As we come into the New Testament, as you begin to trace this theme of God all-sufficient, to be the one not only to bring us to blessing, but to be the blessing, we are confronted with the reality of Jesus Christ, who is El Shaddai incarnate. Jesus Christ, the one God who took on flesh. Who is this God that took on flesh? He has just told us he is El Shaddai, God all-sufficient. And here in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is El Shaddai who takes on flesh. Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all the promises made to Abraham, the fulfillment of blessing to you and to your offspring and to the nations. It is found in the person, the incarnation of El Shaddai, the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as we enter into the New Testament, almost immediately upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this theme takes over. You're familiar with the story of young Jesus, baby Jesus, being brought to the temple. We often hear the story or hear a sermon. Luke chapter 2 at Christmas time. You recall the individual Simeon, righteous before the Lord, longing for the fulfillment of this very promise, of God's promise of redemption and salvation. In Luke chapter 2, verses 29 to 32, as Simeon, there is physically, tangibly holding baby Jesus in his arms. He takes the child into his arms, the scripture tells to us, and he says this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Think about Job. Think about where God had brought Job. It's not just hearing. It's not just bantering. It's not just argument. My eyes have now seen El Shaddai. And here we have Simeon holding the incarnate God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his arms, and he says that now my eyes have seen your salvation. I am beholding El Shaddai. Then he goes on to say that you have prepared for, in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we behold El Shaddai. What were some of Jesus' favorite expressions in his public ministry? You read through the Gospels. And if you were to kind of categorize some of his favorite calls, his favorite expressions as he's ministering to the people, you will come across things like, of course, Jesus coming to the multitude, and what he says is, follow me. Or he says to the multitude, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or he says, abide in me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Why? Why does Jesus call people to himself? Because he is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one who is not only able to bring us into a state of blessing, but he is able to bring us to himself as the blessing. He is El Shaddai. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to El Shaddai. And we hear the call of Almighty God saying to us, walk before me and be blameless. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. We don't have to cry enough tears. We don't have to do enough. Jesus Christ says, come to me. I am El Shaddai. I am all sufficient. In me is everything necessary. So walk with me, walk in me, and then be blameless. We come to El Shaddai in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is all sufficient to give us everything we need. The comfort for us this morning as we contemplate these realities. Are you coming this morning needing forgiveness? Have you had a terrible week? Did you have a terrible night last night? Do you come here with guilt? Do we need forgiveness and cleansing? Where do we go? We go to El Shaddai. We go to the one who is all sufficient for our needs. Do you come here needing strength? Are you weary? Are you tired of putting one foot in front of another in terms of your spiritual walk? You put on a nice face in front of people, but you're exhausted. You need strength. Where do we go? We go to El Shaddai. Because in him, we find strength. Do you need courage? Is there something you need to do? You know you need to do it, and you're afraid to. You need to say something. You're afraid to. Where do we find that courage? We go to El Shaddai, the one who is all sufficient. Do we need compassion and kindness? Have you been short and quick with people, with your children, with your family? You find yourself grumpy and you need patience. You need compassion. You need kindness. Where do we find that? We go to El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Do we need fellowship? You talk to so many people in this COVID time. People are devastatingly lonely. Do we need fellowship? Where do we go? We don't say, if only COVID is over, my fellowship issues, my companionship issues, my loneliness will be solved. We just need COVID over with, and then it'll all be better. No. We go to El Shaddai, who is our all-sufficient. And there we receive it. What do you stand in need of this morning? God says to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk before me, come to me, believe in me, follow me, abide in me, and be blameless. our God who is infinite in being, infinite in glory, infinite in blessedness and perfection. He meets our every need. He satisfies not only the filling of our cup to the brim. God, in His infinite blessing, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever, that cup will be overflowing and overflowing and overflowing, because our God is El Shaddai. God says to us this morning, as we gather before Him, as we look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless.